Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone this morning. I want to talk this morning about giving thanks to God, since we're in the Thanksgiving season, Thanksgiving week. The text will be out of Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. The Bible has a lot to say about being thankful, and I think it's important that we do give thanks to God. I'll read the text this morning, and I'd like to have a word of prayer before we get into this. Paul said, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I know that it's the truth. I thank you for all those who could be here today. I thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you give to us as your children. I thank you for the many blessings that you have given to this nation. Father, I pray that as we look at this text this morning, that you will bless our hearts, take it to our hearts, and remind us of just how thankful we need to be as your people. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanksgiving means a lot of different things to different people. For many, it's a time to gather with family and to overeat, and then to watch a football game or some other sporting event. Many others do celebrate it as a time of giving thanks. I read that Thanksgiving Day was first instituted or suggested by George Washington in 1792 as a time set aside for people to thank God, to give thanks to God. In fact, Thomas Jefferson refused to do it. He said that involved church and state, and he didn't think that, you know, there ought to be a national declaration of thanks to God. Then Lincoln, in 1863, reinstituted it for their victory at Gettysburg. And later, a lady, I can't remember her name, but she's the one that pushed the Congress and the president, you know, why not make a national day of Thanksgiving? And it means a lot of things to a lot of people. As I said, generally we get together and we overeat. But Thanksgiving should be in the forefront of our minds. And we Christians today have a lot of things that we can be thankful for. Paul told the church at Ephesus that we should give thanks always and for everything. And sometimes it's hard to feel thankful. When we're ill, when we're in pain, when our family suffers, when things aren't going our way. And Paul said we're to be thankful in all circumstances, not all the good ones. You know, there's times in my life I still don't feel very thankful. I have arthritis. Of course, that's my age, and my back surgeries, and my last surgery, they said, "Your back's full of arthritis." Well, now it's in my shoulders and my hands. And those of you that have that know what it's like when the barometric pressure changes, you get to hurting. I told my wife I have better work ethics now than I did when I was 20. I just don't have the ability to carry it out. And that's a bummer. Part of getting older is the restrictions, the things that you used to be able to do and now you can't do as well. And for me, being older, it's easy to get into a pity party. Poor old me. Poor Rick, you know. And I have to remind myself that I need to be thankful. And that's what I want to talk today about Thanksgiving, since we're going into the Thanksgiving season, is we as Christians have a lot of reasons to be thankful no matter what circumstance we're in. God's in control. And God has done a lot for us as believers that if he never does anything else, we should be thankful for the rest of our lives, as far as I'm concerned. Paul talked about Thanksgiving a lot when he wrote to the churches. And if you know Paul's background in ministry, he couldn't be a pastor in good standing in most churches. He'd been in and out of prison for preaching the gospel. Paul said five times he'd received 40 lashes minus one. Three times he was beaten with rods. He said, I've been shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day adrift at sea. Paul suffered all through his ministry, and yet he was able to write to the church and said, we need to give God thanks. And sometimes we think, well, that's easy for you to say. You don't know what condition I'm in. You don't know how things are going. And we'd rather sing the blues than sing praises to the Lord, and we shouldn't do that. God understands that there's circumstances we get into that we're not thankful for, and I've never read in the Bible where it's said to be thankful for those bad circumstances, but it says to be thankful to God. We have to remember who he is and what he's done for us. He wrote to the church at Corinth that we have victory over the world, sin, and the devil, and our sins have been forgiven. He said to the church at Corinth, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that once in a while? I've asked myself that when Paul said God gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, is that just once in a while? Is that when I feel like I got the victory? Because there's times I don't feel like I got the victory. And Paul said we need to thank God because he gives us the victory. I had a couple girls in a youth class that I was teaching in. When I was associate in the Nazarene, I had to do different levels of church ministry as part of my training. And they told me they were witches. And, you know, they smirked at me. And I think they were trying to give me a shock. And I said, well, why? And, well, we want the power now. And I said, you know, you don't always get everything you want now as Christians. And they said that's what they didn't like about Christianity. You guys always talk about the by and by, when we get to heaven, yada, yada. And we want it all now. And I said, you know, God doesn't promise everything good here. And he doesn't. But I said, wait till you get to the other side. Yeah. There's not going to be any sad sacks in the kingdom of heaven. No. There's not going to be anyone walking around feeling sorry for themselves with their bottom lip hanging down to their knees and going, oh, poor old me. Don't you feel sorry for me? I don't believe that. And I told these young ladies, I said, well, there's things you can have now, but I said, you know, when I leave this earth, I get to go be with my Lord for eternity. No harm will ever come to me. I said, if you want to stay in witchcraft, when you leave, you get to go be with your God. And I said, that's an eternity of suffering and misery. So if that's what you want to choose, go ahead. That's your decision. God always gives us the victory in Jesus Christ. You know how I know that? I've read to the end of the book. We win. When all hell and chaos breaks loose on this earth and the Antichrist is ruling and the Bible says that the devil will have victory over the saints. Are you a saint? I hope so. I'm a saint. I'm Saint Richard. Think about getting a medal put with my name on there. But I mean, I am a saint, but the Bible tells me that in the last days, Satan will be granted victory over the saints. But how long is that victory? About that long. Because when we enter the kingdom of heaven, when Jesus Christ returns, that victory is going to be eternal. It's settled. And the guy that was messing with us will be in the lake of fire. And the Bible says he'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. I don't want to serve a God like that. I don't want to be on the losing side. So no matter what comes against me in this life and what comes against you, we have the victory through Jesus Christ. Well, I don't feel very victorious. It doesn't say when you feel like it. It says you got the victory. So tuck your bottom lip in, lift your chin up and say, I've always got the victory in Jesus Christ. Yeah. I mean, if you kill me, you're doing me a favor. You're sending me home. Good night. You can't touch my spirit. You can't touch that victory that Christ has given me. Paul also said to the church at Colossae that we are to be giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I said earlier, if God never does anything else in our lives, this is something to be thankful for. I was deep in the kingdom of darkness. I was a vile person. I was a prisoner of sin. And I had no hope. About a week or so before I came to Christ, I told my wife, I don't know why I don't take a 30-30 and go in the woods and blow my head off. I was miserable. Sin is a trap. And there was no way out, and I felt hopeless and in the dark. And Paul said, but God pulled us up out of that kingdom and transplanted us into his kingdom. All God. I know what David means when he prays and says, you lifted my life out of the pit, because that's what sin is. It is a pit with greased walls. You can try to get out of it on your own and you won't. So Paul said, church, be thankful that God took you out of Satan's kingdom and has put you in his. Satan's not my God anymore. No. Jesus Christ broke those chains in my life. I was hopeless, and I thought there was no hope for me, but I found out in Jesus Christ, I got all kinds of hope. And you know, it didn't stop at salvation. Sometimes I hear people talk like, you know, well, back in 06 when I was a young pup, I got saved, and praise God, and but boy, I'm having a lot of trouble now. Well, we're going to have a lot of trouble in this life. Jesus told us that, but God still gives the victory. God still has the power to deliver us from sin. If we will confess our sins. Christians, you can still get in bondage to sin. The Bible teaches that. We can slip into sin, backslide into sin, and become in bondage to it again, but Jesus Christ is still in the business of setting you free. If you will go to him and confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm not in that kingdom anymore. Praise God. That means a lot to me. I got a lot deeper into sin than most of you did. And I'm not bragging, but I just know that for a fact. And when I thought nothing could be done, God did the impossible. Yeah, I'm thankful for that. Sometimes when times are hard, it's hard to be thankful. And I know God understands that. But Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. That was a theme in Paul's, when he spoke of thankfulness. I just read that to you in Ephesians. We're to give God thanks in all circumstances. He says it to the church at Thessalonica. Give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know what was going on in the church when Paul wrote that? Intense persecution. They were losing their houses, their lands. Some of them were losing family. Many of them lost their lives. They were losing their jobs because of their stance as Christians. And Paul said, thank God for that. Do what? I read when Peter and John were beaten by the Sanhedrin because they had warned them not to preach anymore in Jesus' name, and they kept preaching in Jesus' name, and they got beat. And it said they left the court rejoicing. Why? Because they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Jesus said, if the world hates me, they will hate you. If the world will listen to me, they will listen to you. And he said, if they do hate you, understand something, they hated me first. So that's Paul said to this church, they're going under intense persecution. He goes, look, just give God thanks in everything. You know what that does for your attitude? It helps me. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said we ought to rejoice because that's how the prophets were treated. He said, jump for joy, for your reward in heaven is great. You see, we don't get it all here. I know who I believe in, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep those things that I've committed unto him against that day. Paul said that. Paul was in prison when he said it. Paul's back, I imagine, looked like just full of scar tissue. All the beatings that man took, but he wouldn't quit. He said, I know who I believe in. God doesn't have to do anything else for me on this side that I would stop looking forward to the other side. That's just the way I feel. Does he still bless me? Yes, he does. He still watches over me. He still puts up with me. But I'm saying he doesn't have to do a big miracle in my life. I don't have to get my way all the time. In order to keep serving him, I'm going to follow him no matter what. Because I know there's a reward coming. Nobody will touch that. Nobody will touch it. When we lost our house in Mansfield, I felt terrible. I'd been paying on it 15 years. I said I wasn't going to rent anymore. I'm going to buy a house. By golly, that money's going somewhere. And when the bank said, get thee out, I said, what was the use of this? But the Holy Spirit reminded me, Jesus is getting a room ready for you. Nobody will ever foreclose on that. That's yours. Yeah. There'll be no papers served. They won't be able to say, get thee out. And the scriptures say that we can't even imagine the things that God has prepared for those who love him. God said it's never even entered into your imagination. I'm looking forward to that. Yes. If I could get there without dying, I'd like that better, but I don't know of any way to do that. We need to be thankful that God's in control. I saw a lot of anxiety when I worked on the ambulance, and I got to be honest with you, I don't understand that. We all get anxious, but I saw anxiety attacks, people freaking out, hyperventilating, and I'm thinking, what are you getting so wound up about? My gosh. But some people really do suffer with anxiety. You know, when Jesus tells us not to worry, he's not saying it's a sin to have worry, but what he is saying is don't get anxious. What is anxiety? It's unbelief. Plain and simple. Boy, I didn't get an amen one out of that. It's unbelief. God must not be in control. What am I going to do now? Everything's caving in around me. What Paul say to the church? Don't be anxious. Well, that's easy for you to say, Paul. No, it wasn't. When Jesus called Paul to the ministry, he told the prophet Ananias, the guy that laid hands on him so he could receive his sight. Jesus said, I'm going to show Paul just how much he's going to suffer. I said, ooh, I'd hate to have a call like that. I would. One of our professors said, how would you like to have Isaiah's call? God called him to prophesy, and he said, you're going to prophesy until the city's destroyed. He said, how would you like God to call you to a ministry like that? I want you to go preach your heart out, love these people, and say exactly what I say, but they're not going to listen. In fact, they're not going to like you at all. And Isaiah said, how long, Lord? He said, till the city's destroyed. He preached for 50 years. And the end result was he got to see his city leveled. I'm talking about in the spirit. I'm not saying Isaiah was there when it happened. But what a discouraging call. But what Paul said, don't be anxious. Don't freak out. Don't freak out, man. Don't freak out. That's what Paul's saying. Don't freak out. All this trouble's coming on. He said, don't freak out. Don't be anxious. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, there's a lot of things the world can take away from us. You know, we lost our house and disease can take our health away from us, but nobody can touch your spirit. Yeah. That's God's realm there. They can't take that away from you. Nobody can take that away. Can you walk away? I believe you can. You can walk away, but nobody will take it from you. Paul said, with prayer and supplication. Supplication, to my understanding, is a sadness, a crying out to God. But what did he say? Do it with thanksgiving. I know God's still in control. When Biden and his cronies were in, I kept telling myself, God's in control, God's in control, God's in control. Yeah. Poor guy couldn't tie his own shoe, and he held the highest office in the United States, and I saw what him and his cabinet were doing. It was wicked, evil. And I kept telling myself, God is in control. Yeah, he's in control. I used to pray for President Biden. I said, please, God, do something with him. That's probably not a good prayer for a Christian to offer, but that's how I felt. Do something with this guy. Do something with these Democrats. But I was still able to be thankful. That peace, Paul talked about, that peace that rules in our heart. You know where that comes from? From you and I understanding, he's in control. I don't care what's going on around me. He's in control. He's got this. You know, God isn't sitting on the throne twiddling his thumbs or sitting there chewing on his nails going, oh, I didn't see that coming. What are we going to do? That ruins my whole plan. He doesn't do that. One thing, I don't understand Revelation very well, and I don't try to because there's too many theories and stuff on it, and it just leads to a lot of argument. But one thing I noticed through the whole book of Revelation, like I said, God wasn't chewing on his nails. He goes, break another seal. Bam. Break another seal. Bam. Blow that trumpet. Pour that cup out. And everything's chaotic on earth, and God's just sitting there going, okay, next, next, next. And then what happens in the end? He wins. Yeah. He wins. I want to close with a passage in Revelation chapter 7. Heaven is going to be one continuous Thanksgiving celebration. It is. Yeah. I'm not saying we're going to have turkey and pumpkin pie and all that other stuff there, but it's going to be one continual Thanksgiving. John writes this in Revelation. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. You know what amen means? So be it. We say it like, I agree, and there's nothing wrong with that, but literally amen means so be it. John said, thanksgiving. Heaven will be a place of worship, and it will be a continual Thanksgiving celebration. Paul said, I count that the things that I suffer now are not worth comparing with the glory that's going to be revealed. That's the attitude we need to have, Christian. This is temporary. This is temporal. This earth is temporary. The Lord's going to destroy this earth with fire. Everything is going to burn up, but he's promised he's recreating a new heavens and a new earth. And he said that'll last forever. John was very fortunate to get caught up ahead in the Spirit, and he got to see heaven. And those who overcome are dressed in white robes standing before the throne of God, and they are continually giving thanks and worshiping him. Are you looking forward to that? You bet. You bet. I am too. We may have to suffer some things here, but Paul said, don't give up on giving thanks to God in all circumstances you're in. God understands when we suffer and we hurt. And he's not saying, you need to thank me for that terrible thing that's going on in your life. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, just be thankful. I got this. I'm in control. I'm going to get you through this. So Thursday, when we gather with our different ones and our families, and we gather around and stuff ourselves till we're bloated and, you know, miserable, just remember that we need to be giving God thanks for all that he's done in our lives and all he'll continue to do, no matter what comes against us. It's hard to beat somebody like that. I really think it is. When we can be thankful, you can't beat somebody like that. We keep the right attitude. Paul said the peace of God will rule in our hearts if we remain in a spirit of thanksgiving. Would you stand with me this morning? I know there's a lot of suffering and stuff going on here. All of us as individuals, we have our own crosses to bear and the things that we're suffering with. But don't give up hope. You just keep giving God thanks and praise for the things that he has done in your life. And by faith, understand he's going to continue to do things in your life that you need to be thankful for and that I need to be thankful for. God's in control. I can't say that enough. God is in control.